Hear these words of Scripture. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, God is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong.
Spirit of the God, search our hearts.
Let us confess our sins to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord has shown forth his glory. Come, let us adore him.
Alleluia. Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumor. Their heart is right. They put their trust in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast and you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves and you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast days and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with wicked fist. Such fasting as you do will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ash? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thong of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is not it to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you seek the naked to cover them and to not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like a dawn, and your healing shall be sprung up quickly. Your vindication shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." The word of the Lord. Reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, no human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed to us by God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Good morning. That music really sounded good. That hymn after the first reading, it was threatening to lead to dancing. Is that allowed? I mean, that was really nice. And Dee, thank you. I was actually not going to be here, and then Dee agreed to preach in my place, and then now I'm here. So thank you. I love this passage, the salt and light passage. It's a favorite among a lot of people. And even the first two readings infuse that salt and light passage with some insight. The first one, you know, Isaiah, where God through the prophet is saying, "You people really need to pull it together. I mean, seriously." And they're like, "What? We fast." You know, and precisely, and you get meaner. I mean, so this is not working. So we get fussed out on that one. And then the second reading, Paul, you know, is saying, I'm not coming to you with my fancy talk. You know, I come to you in humility. I remember the first time I read that, it kind of sounded like false humility, but no, he's essentially saying that human wisdom can get in the way of God's wisdom. So he is coming and really wanting to impart something deep that the Holy Spirit could deliver. It's a kind of counterintuitive thing that the Holy Spirit can only work when we are empty and when we don't get in the Spirit's way. And then we land on this amazing passage of salt and light. And you've heard it a thousand times. I mean, salt is not, doesn't rely on its own reputation. It enlivens things. It brings things forth. It seasons. It preserves. There's a lot of history around salt. Even the word salary, soldare, comes from giving salt, that the Roman soldiers, I think during Augustus' time, were given their pay in salt. I wouldn't appreciate that, but they did, apparently. It has a lot of value, and it has a lot of symbolism. Salt is not gold. It's not valuable in and of itself. Its value is in its agency, in that it does something. And to a large part, it's invisible. The salt of that day actually can become tasteless and insipid. And there's a phrase in there, salt losing its taste, which in Aramaic means becoming foolish. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, Jesus really has, he's got some game when it comes to this passage. It's an inside-outside proposition. Salt is taste. Light is what you can see. So to some extent, I would summarize that, you know, salt enhances what is real, and that light makes seen what is good, which is a nice strategy for those people who are taking this this mission seriously, being a disciple of Christ. I always am a little bit struck by this whole sermon thing that we do, where we listen to good ideas, and then we agree, and then we're not exactly sure what to do with that. I've mentioned this before. Well, I mean, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and on the ride back to the house afterwards, my dad always asked me, you know, what did you think of the homily? And I always thought it was great. I just couldn't remember what he was saying. I mean, I was also an acolyte, so I didn't feel obligated to pay attention. I feel like in the end, the question is, salt and light, if we are to be salt and light, it's toward what end? I mean, why? For people to get saved? Sure. To become American? Perhaps not. To rebuild a new way of living together? I think definitely. I think there is a new way. And there is a difference between showing out and showing off. Showing out is just being emphatically who you are. Showing off is an indication of insecurity, that you may not actually be convinced that you have what you claim you have. So when it talks about, when Jesus sort of entreats us to be salt in the world, to be confident, to be open and involved and engaged, and to be an example, he's not thinking about what is referred to in Isaiah as making shows. He's talking about actually being who you are. I think it was Thomas Merton who said, to be born again is to become who you are, to become who God intended for you to be in your own unique gifting. Now, just like you needed some mentor growing up, and I needed a mentor, whether that was an uncle, a father, a person, a mother, someone in the community, I think communities need mentors. And this is, I forgot what day it is, but we're fourth, so, what's that? The fifth. We're the fifth day of February, and February is Black History Month. And that might not seem like a particularly interesting thing to note among white people, but it's actually a proud example of a community that I think we can learn from, and who is our own brothers and sisters. Carter G. Woodson started Black History Week. And Black History Week, and this was back in 1926. Carter G. Woodson was the second African-American person to graduate from Harvard, the first being W.E.B. Du Bois. And Carter G. Woodson is amazing. You may not have heard of him, but he's considered the father of Black History Month. So Black History Week started, as I said, in 26. And it was always the second week, the full week in February, because it combined Abraham Lincoln's birthday on the 12th and Frederick Douglass's on the 14th. Not that it matters, mine's on the 16th. it was a culmination of a year-long demonstration to the Black community, a young people, of the power and the beauty within their own community. So African Black History Week was like the culmination of a year-long process. It's like you wouldn't feel satisfied if the only time you heard about Jesus was Christmas, right? I mean, you hear about it all year round, and then there's the culmination. Carter G. Woodson was, in fact, salt and light to so many generations. He published a book in 1933 called The Miseducation of the Negro that became the architecture of King, Malcolm X, a variety of leaders, and a lot of young people. And when he said miseducation, he was saying that because a lot of the schooling was inadvertently teaching young black men and women to not value their own legacy, their own sense of themselves. And education is about freedom. It's not about compliance. So many of his ideas were just infused in the community and benefited so many young people. You don't know him, and we don't know him. Carter G. Woodson. I would encourage you to look him up. There's another person that I think was a good example of salt and light, and that's Howard Thurman. And Howard Thurman, Christian mystic and preacher and mentor to Martin King. Dr. King kept a copy of Jesus and the Disinherited in his briefcase wherever he went. It's a powerful book written in 1949. If you read it today, it would seem very modern. And there were so many ideas in that book. And both Carter G. Woodson and Howard Thurman were aspiring to build a community that included everybody. The Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, does include every voice. It's a beautiful model. I would encourage you in this month to investigate some of the available resources for Black History Month. And when you think of black, think of human and whole. We have a great deal we owe a great deal to the men and women from the black community who pioneered so many beautiful ideas and movements. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. Does that make sense, or does it seem like a crazy idea? You're not going to admit that it seems like a crazy idea. I've learned so much, from the black community, not only in terms of my reading, but in terms of my personal experience. It has made me more human. It has made me more whole. I remember I have, in my time as a minister, occasionally gotten in trouble. I didn't mean to get in trouble, but I got into trouble this once where after I spoke, this young Muslim woman who is married to, she's Muslim culturally, and she's married to a man in the parish who is, well, in this independent church, to a Southern Baptist. And she liked what she heard me say, and she asked if we could get together. And I said, sure. And I said, well, tell your husband that we're gonna talk. And so we met at a coffee shop, and her husband, who I knew, he was sitting at another table, and she was with me. And the first issue she wanted to talk about is she said that her father had been murdered in Trinidad, that he was trying to protect a mosque, and there were some people coming in trying to take it over. And she showed me the news clippings. And she missed her father, and she felt called to go to a local mosque just out of respect for her father. And what did I think of that? This is the part that got me in trouble. I said, sure, go. And, Jesus will walk with you and be there with you. Honor him. Go and listen. See, and listen to what you hear internally. And she ended up doing that, and it was helpful. But then the second part, she said, I really am interested in this whole Jesus thing, and I'm not quite sure if I'm getting it. And every now and then I have like good moments when I think of the right thing to say. And I said, Have you ever met that kind of young that young boy in a village who, you know, the older women love this young man because he helps them repot the plants, and the older men appreciate him because he's respectful. The kids like him because, you know, he's fun to be around. It's almost as if whenever he's around, it enlivens things. Things feel more open, more fun. Do you know anybody like that? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, Jesus is like that. And it's exactly the way I think we're being asked to become, to be that kind of person that brings life to community. And to be able to sit with people who are in sorrow. I found out last night that I have a brother-in-law. He's an ex-brother-in-law, but he's still an important person to me. That my daughter said that he has prostate cancer, and he doesn't have long. I mean, this is not supposed to happen. He seems like such a young guy. And so, as human beings, we are salt and light to each other and to those people around us. It's a powerful thing. It takes years to cultivate that kind of energy. And what I love about this church here is that there are so many people like that. I think we can continue to learn from Carter G. Woodson and Howard Thurman and so many other American heroes. And I encourage you to explore that this month and beyond. I'll end with a quote by Howard Thurman. He said, and this was after this young seminarian came to Howard Thurman and was so excited about graduating from seminary and wanting to go save the world. And Howard Thurman, he always wore three-piece suits, and he had this, you know, big head like me. And he would rub it, and he would say, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs are people who have come alive. I think that's really what Jesus is talking about. Come alive. Amen.
Stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our bishop, for our clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, for leaders of nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Chattanooga, Ottawa, Harrison, and beyond, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the good earth which God has given us and for the wisdom and will to conserve it, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the aged and infirmed, for the widow and the orphans, and for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those we now name, Ava, Belinda, David, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob and Carrie, and for those you now name, for the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember the care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, and for all of the departed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the deliverance from danger, violence, oppression, and degradation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In the communion with Jude Thaddeus and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our lives to Christ our God.
To thee, O Lord our God.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for sharing yourselves with us. Your presence makes this a holy time. Thank you very much to Chris. We always love to have him visit. And thank you for those wonderful words. So this weekend, Friday and Saturday, Courtney, Kelly, and myself went up to Johnson City for diocesan convention. It was an absolutely wonderful experience. We'd love to tell you about it. So if you're interested in any of the goings-on, come to see one of us. We'll share our experience with you. I encourage you. It's a year away, but there's going to be another convention next year. And I encourage everyone, especially if you've never been to convention, to think about going. Talk to one of the vestry members about going to convention as a delegate. It is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Are there any other announcements?
So the altar flowers today are in honor of Mom. It's her 91st birthday. Dad wasn't feeling well enough to come today, but if you would like to wish her happy birthday, please give her a call.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he became death, and for his rising to life again, in which we were raised to life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Alleluia.